sports articles when we can do the work for you. Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A horrific accident this weekend as a drunk driver drove over the edge of a bridge, killing people that he landed on below. Here's the story.
Dozens of people have been stopping by the park to drop off candles, flowers, and cards. Over the weekend, officials say a drunk driver lost control of his pickup while transitioning onto the Coronado Bridge, and the truck fell about 60 feet below onto a vendor's booth. The crash killed four people. Two of the victims were from Chandler, Arizona, and the other two were from Hacienda Heights near Los Angeles. The driver is employed by the U.S. Navy, and he's now facing vehicular homicide and DUI charges. Jason Campidonia, San Diego.
The Smithsonian Institution's taking a famous movie prop off display, but you're going to be surprised at how much it's going to cost to restore it. Here's the story.
The Smithsonian has announced they're removing the original 1939 Wizard of Oz props from the floor of the National Museum of American History because they need to be repaired and restored. The museum has established a Kickstarter to help pay for the restoration with a goal of $300,000. Officials plan on returning the nearly 80-year-old shoes for display in 2018. Nick Bovee, NBC News Radio, Washington.
A San Francisco police officer who was shot in the head is recovering. The man accused of shooting him is dead. Officer Kevin Downs was shot when he and his partner answered a call about a man causing a disturbance and making threats inside a shopping center. The suspect was shot by other officers. He died yesterday. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The weather today, mostly cloudy with a high near 80. West winds, 3 to 6 miles an hour. Tonight, patchy fog after 5 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 59 and calm winds. Tuesday, it'll be patchy fog before 8 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, it'll be sunny with a high near 84. Yeah, you heard right, 84. Calm winds becoming southwest, 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, it'll be patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 60, light southwest winds. Wednesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high again near 84. I love it. Calm winds becoming west around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, there'll be a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 58. The chance of precipitation is 50%. And Thursday, there's a chance of showers before 12 noon, and then it'll be partly sunny in the afternoon near 76. Thursday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 56, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is celebrating its 28th Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. It's going to be on Thursday, November 10th at the Hunterdon Central Regional High School Fieldhouse Commons. It's from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 p.m., and they have a restaurant showcase from 5 to 7. If you're not familiar with that, you come in and you try all these different foods from the different restaurants that are there, and you vote on which one you like the best, and they get an award, you know. It's totally free. Free admission. You don't have to, you know, there's free parking at the school or across the street or whatever, and it's free admission. So if you need more information, you can call 908 782 7155. Or you can go to www.hunterton/chamber.org. That's hunterton/chamber.org. Welcome to NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and this is the show Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses, and someone told me that run from the kitchen to the dining room, there's less traffic than on the road. So, and I agree with them. But what we try to do is we try to help people, families who either have someone in their family or know of someone or work with someone or have a next door neighbor who has a mental health issue. We also try to help people who have a mental health issue to get the services that they need. Or recommend them to services. We do support groups, which is totally, everything we do is totally free in Hunterdon. There's no charge for anything. We do support groups on a monthly basis. It's every the third Thursday of every month, and it's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, New Jersey. We also run a what they call a family-to-family class, which I happen to teach with my wife teaches and a couple other people teach. It is a 12-week course that covers medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do in certain situations, what to say, what not to say. And it tries to give the person taking the class a better understanding of what their loved one or their relative or whoever it is that they're there for is going through. It's totally free. All the books and the material and everything is free. We also do a basics course, which is 6 to 7 weeks, depending on who's teaching it. If the lady I do presentations with is teaching it, it's 7 weeks. But it's for people who have children under 18, and they can have ADHD, anxiety, whatever. And it helps parents understand what their child is going through. If you need any information, all you have to do is reach out to us. The phone number is 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24 hours a day, but we have someone check it at least once a day, and we guarantee you we'll be back to you within 24 hours. Today on our award-winning Mental Health Matters show, I am very privileged to have with us Shay Dibley. Morning, Shay, or afternoon, I guess it is now, right?
It is the afternoon. Thank okay. you, Larry.
Shay is a NAMI board member, and he's someone with a mental health issue who's going on with his life. Shay's married and has two children, and we are so glad to have you on the show. I can't tell you, you know, I really mean that.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here. I've listened to this show many times from middle of the workday, and it's really great to hear that we're getting this outreach to the community, and I enjoy listening to it every time I get to listen from 2 to 3 p.m. on Mondays.
Well, I enjoy doing it, so as I've been doing it almost 6 years. Well, it started 6 years in September now. So, you know, Shay, we have known you, NAMI, local NAMI, Hunterdon County NAMI, has known you since you've been well and in recovery and been doing very well. How was it prior to that?
Well, Larry, I'll tell you, you know, I'm in my later 30s, but it's been a long, you know, it's been about 18 years since my first break mm-hmm. with mental health issues. And for the first 9 years especially, it was especially difficult. I sometimes feel that I was, you know, robbed of my 20s a little bit, you know. But at the same time, I was always somebody who was willing to reach out when I needed help. And I think that's so important that we reach out to a family member, a friend, somebody that we know will understand, or at least try to come forward and help us and get the recovery, help us get the recovery we need. The other thing is that it's so important that we try to understand that we're not alone in this, that we're not the only person that experiences these experiences that we go through when we're really in a tough spot and we're going through a bad, maybe an episode, because we're not the only people that have these issues. In fact, one in five people nationally suffer from a major mental health issue.
And that's worldwide.
Right. So
when you think about 20% of the world population, that is an awful amount of people.
Right. And then you think of one in five. Well, the average family is five people. So it's nearly every single family in the United States that has someone that they either care for or know that has a mental health issue.
Right, and it could be, you know, an aunt, an uncle, cousin.
Right.
You know, aside from mother, father, sister, brother, you know.
Right.
At what age did you have your first?
19 turning 20, which is, I think, typical, I would say, of a male. A man generally goes through at late teenage years, early 20s, if not before. And then a female would generally might make it to early 30s, mid 30s before anything might happen with.
But you'd be surprised how many don't make it that long. Females, I mean.
Sure. You know, sure. Of course.
It's,
of course, so.
You know, what is your diagnosis, if I may ask?
Well, it's schizoaffective disorder. So I have some of the mood, you know, bipolar type things, right. But I also have the schizophrenia. So. So along the spectrum, definitely from the schizophrenia to the bipolar, it's sort of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of kind of in the middle there. I've just been able to manage, very nicely, but the fact that, I have been able to come this far has been, an epic effort of myself, my own insight into my disorder, my family members supporting me throughout the whole thing. Having the right doctor is so important. I would recommend my doctor to anybody because the doctor that I work with, he treats you as a holistic person,
mm-hmm.
not just a medication dispenser,
right.
making you a walking pharmacy, which is so many people experience that. And I did too. Before I found the right doctor, I was just on so many medications that I couldn't tell where I was at because I just felt like a zombie. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah. You know, my son, my youngest son.
Yes.
And he was on so many different medications. And, oh, all right, well, we'll cut this one back and we'll add this one. And then we add that energy and all these interchanges, you know, and they all have side effects. And my youngest son is not a tall individual. I think he's like 5'7", you know. And if he puts on 60 pounds by one of the, you know.
Right.
It was like his face was like a balloon.
That's a significant weight increase.
Right. And, you know, and so you wonder why some people don't take medication. Think of a teenage girl. Or early 20s, and she's 125, and she puts on 60 to 70 pounds.
Right.
She's going to want to take medication?
Right.
You know,
and you also think of how many people turn to self-medication.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
right. To drugs and alcohol to take care of some of the symptomatic things.
And some of the pain.
And some of the pain, right. Yeah. And it's almost something that you don't... You don't think about it all the time, but you know it's almost like, well, do I take all these medications and feel like a zombie, or do I go out to the bar and drink? And unfortunately, you know, that's why I mean it's important to have the right person on your corner from the doctor standpoint too.
Well, you know, Shay, too, a lot. I know you probably agree with this. A lot of times, younger people, and older people too, but a lot of younger people, early 20s, mid-20s, late teens, they don't want to be associated with mental illness.
Right.
So it's easier to go to a bar and hang out with the boys and the girls and whatever than to have to take medication and not be able to drink or, right. you know.
Yeah, so, and it goes along with the stigma, too. There's so much stigma associated, especially in those younger years where you're not as your friends might not be as accepting of mm-hmm. those things.
Absolutely.
Whereas you're not a mature individual yet, your friends aren't mature individuals. So the stigma is something that NAMI, you know, we fight to end stigma because – and we'll never end it, but we can lessen it, you know, in the course of everything. We've achieved parity in the healthcare system mm-hmm. As much as we can for mental health.
We'd like even more.
We'd like even more, yeah. But you know, we've made strides in legislative and in people's paradigm views of mental health. But you're right. I mean, when you're a young adolescent or 20-something or 30-something, dealing with your first episode or your second episode or whatever of mental health, mental illness, it can be very daunting from a lot of different perspectives.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is too that more people like yourself who are willing to come out, and let's face it, this is on the internet and it goes all over.
Mm-hmm.
So I give you a lot of credit because you're telling your story, but who knows how many people that know you may be listening or whatever.
Right.
And so, but the more people like you who come out,
mm-hmm.
it's just so important.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Chris, not Mrs. Christie, I said Chrissy Cody.
Cody, yeah.
Richard Cody's wife.
Yeah, Mary Jo.
Mary Jo Cody was on a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the same problem. And she said, like you said earlier, you touched on earlier, when she had breast cancer and she was in a hospital, people would call all the time. People brought food off. She said she had enough food to feed an army.
Flowers.
You know, flowers, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
You know, candy, gifts, whatever. When she went in for postpartum depression, nobody called. Nobody brought anything. Nobody sent anything. And it's just, you know, and she's the same person.
And you know. The thing is that you know, truth be told, mental health issues are just as life-threatening as cancer or heart disease. Because as you and I know, in such sad cases, there's PTSD, you know, from veterans. That's a big thing now. Or veterans,
or police officers,
whomever is just in a traumatic situation that they feel, you know, unfortunately they commit suicide and there's so many things. There's also that I took it upon myself to, when it was offered to me, to go to the CIT training.
Yes.
And I was a civilian, you know, CIT person there for NAMI, but mostly it was there for the police officers.
For those of you that don't know, CIT is crisis intervention training. So
yep.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you know,
crisis,
people may not know what it is.
Crisis intervention training for the police officers to be able to respond more appropriately to mental health calls.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, as you know, you probably have maybe experienced it before, where someone might be a little on edge, you know, going through some symptomatic, and they're not acting appropriately, and maybe causing some alarm within the city or town that they're in, and so to not escalate that situation and maybe have it end badly, so that they can nonviolently hopefully take care of that person and get them into recovery that they mostly need. So
I know when I went out with the hospital on a mobile outreach, I would say about 8-9 months ago. And I happened to know one of the police officers because he used to go to the gym I went to. So, you know, I used to see him there all the time. And it was a young man, and he was locked in his bedroom, and he wouldn't come out. He was beating on the walls and, you know, not putting holes in it, but beating on them and screaming and hollering. And they talked to him. Three cops talked to him through the door for an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Now, you stop and think, Shay, a couple years back, they would have talked 2 minutes, kicked in the door, threw him down, handcuffed him, and took him away.
Right.
But these two of these officers, the one I knew and another one, had gone through CIT training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's locally here in Huntington County. And or they were, you know, local police officers in Huntington County. And they finally came down and said to the parents, we're going to have to go in. We can't, you know, we can't wait any longer.
Right.
We will be as gentle as possible. And they were. They went down. They took him down, but he took him down on the bed, you know. And he was pretty big dude.
Right, right.
And they took him down on the bed, and they, you know, they got him down the stairs and got him into an ambulance and took him to the medical center.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
That's the same, I think, with a lot of things. They're now training the officers on a lot of different types of cases because there's a whole thing going on where people are on different kinds of opiates and then they get hooked on drugs, the heroin and things like that, and then they have an overdose and they're now trained, I think, all over the state to handle a heroin overdose. They have a special way to treat that,
Narcom or something
that is proven to get them to the hospital okay, and they can potentially recover from that.
Right,
and so that's the same thing. Whereas just in your situation that you were saying with the boy that was very agitated and he was hitting on the walls, if they had gone in there and just guns blazing or whatever, and he had a weapon in there, you know, it could have ended very badly. Mm-hmm. You know, not only right. for the officers, but of course for the kid. And, you know, and that's why we're always trying to look for solutions that are a little bit better, try to be a little bit better tomorrow than we are today, you know, in everything. And that's why, you know, I'm on here talking to people because I know what it's like to have been through the hell of everything.
Right.
I was delusional, hallucinating, paranoia, mm-hmm. you know, all of that stuff at the same time. I've had all those experiences, but it's a matter of, you know, you just can never, just never give up, you know, never right. give up, you know. What I always think to myself is humans just in general can do anything if they know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and there should always be a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
You know,
a lot of times we don't see it.
We can't see it
right.
because we're too far down or too far gone or too far mm-hmm. in the dark.
Exactly.
But just with anything, I mean, even if you were running a marathon and you were on the last 2 miles, well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You're probably hurting a lot because you've gone 23 miles. But, you know, those last 2 miles are the hardest, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to end that marathon in 2 miles. So just like that, it's you have to be able to look and say, you know, hopefully we have somebody in this life that we trust that we can turn to, because it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help.
It's very hard sometimes for people to ask for help. Not everybody can easily just ask for help.
And it's a very hard thing to do, to ask for help. But then also, once you're under treatment, try to work with that therapist or that psychiatrist that was providing you medication. Try to work with that person as a team. You know, and it's very difficult. It doesn't always work.
What do you mean by, like, when you gave me a phrase, becoming a team with your doctor?
Yeah, so I'm in your
recovery.
I'm fortunate enough to be a team with my doctor. It hasn't always been that way because I was much more of in a crisis when I came and saw him initially. But he gives me metaphors. Like, maybe I'll say, oh, I think everyone's watching me. He gives me metaphors. Even he'll look outside of his doctor's office through the blinds, and he'll say, what am I doing right now? What's that person doing? What's that person doing? What's that person doing? And then one person looks up towards me and I say, they're watching me, but what am I doing? I'm watching everyone else. That's what you're doing. Or the medication, what it does is it puts, if you were going 80, 85 miles, 90 miles an hour on the highway, what it does is it puts three tractor trailers on every single lane going 50 miles an hour on the highway in front of you so that it slows you down, slowing your thought process mm-hmm. down. So he gives me a lot of these metaphors, but he also weighs me. He also talks to me about what I'm eating. He talks about how much I smoke cigarettes or how much I'm drinking, things like that, so that he knows a full picture of me, not just if something's wrong, well, maybe tweak this, maybe tweak your diet, maybe, you know, smoke a little bit less, maybe don't drink this, you know, as much here. Not just, oh, you're experiencing this, take this. You're experiencing this, take this. Now, this is for the side effects of all the other things. Yeah. You know, so that's, you know, that's what I mean about, and maybe it's, and this is tough too. I'm not saying it's easy, but maybe it's a fact that that person that's on your side in life, have that person, if you're in a real bad spot and if you're in a crisis, have that person that's thinking much more rationally come into that, those first couple of appointments with you, not every appointment, but those first couple of appointments and kind of get their take on things. So you trust them maybe what the doctor says, you picked up on different cues than they did, or maybe mm-hmm. they can suggest something that would work.
Okay.
So,
and it's, you know, that person could be blood relative, or it could be right. next door neighbor, or it could be a friend you work with or best friend. Yeah. yeah. Right. Right.
But just somebody who's on your side, somebody who you trust, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of times with especially paranoid schizophrenia or bipolar or whatever, a lot of times we tend not to trust very many people because we're feeling paranoid, you know.
Of course, right.
So if you have somebody that you know you can trust, you know, then they sit through that appointment with you. It might be worthwhile because you might not have trusted that doctor, but they might have seen a completely different thing.
And how does one go about full or modified functional recovery?
Well, you know, why I say modified functional recovery is because not everyone's really going to, depending on how far they've gone down the wrong path, they might not be able initially, not right away, but not in the long term, but initially they might not be able to have a full recovery right away. It might take a little bit longer if there's, when I say that, they might be have an addiction problem or, you know, some sort of another symptom that they might have gone too far down the wrong road, and it takes a little bit longer to come back. So what I mean is you really need to, you know, put yourself out there. When I mean put yourself out there, when you want to date somebody, you don't just stay at home and read a book. When you're single and you want to meet somebody, you go out to a book club or you go to a bar or you do some sort of activity or you put yourself out there at work or you know, mm-hmm. what I mean by that is also as people with anxiety, if you have a social anxiety, well, go to church, start with going to church because maybe that's a safer place for you to go out there and interact with people or go to a social club or go work out and talk to people there. What I mean is we need to put ourselves out there. We need to do things to help ourselves. And unfortunately, our first thought process is retract when we have mental illness. So retract into our own cocoon, you know, mm-hmm. do our own thing and
right.
don't let other people talk to other people. What I mean is you kind of have to, like me joining NAMI was a good thing because it, along the way, I learned a lot of things that helped me and help other people as well, you know, and I never would have met you and Alicia and Priscilla and Peggy and everybody, you know, so I wouldn't have heard their stories,
right?
You know, and just, you know, it's sometimes you have to force yourself to do that just as if you were dating,
yeah.
If you were dating, you know, you'd have to force yourself out there, you know, to that restaurant or whatever
mm-hmm.
to go meet people. but at the same time, it's a necessary thing.
Doesn't a person have to have the desire to want to be better? Because without the desire and the willpower, it's pretty much futile, isn't it?
Well, it comes down to insight, too, because a lot of times one of the problems is insight. We don't think that our own natural minds would betray us. We believe what our mind tells us. So we don't – when we deny almost a denial, but it's not really a denial because you're not saying that there is a problem in the first place. Everyone tells you there's a problem, but you think that you're perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that your thoughts are perfectly normal, your actions are perfectly normal. So not only is it the desire, I would say, but it's also the fact that that person needs to gain some insight into their own disorder.
Right.
You know, it's almost like if you look in the mirror, if you have an eating disorder, someone else might say, wow, that person has a great body. They look amazing. And to that person, they're looking at this little part over here or this little part over here and saying they're fat, because they're looking at themselves with a different lens than other people are looking at them with.
Yeah, they're seeing themselves differently.
Right, they're seeing themselves differently. So that's the same thing where in the reverse sense, we might not think as a person with mental health issues, we might not think that we have a problem. But somebody else is telling us, well, this is not normal, that you should not be thinking this way, you should not be acting this way. But we think to ourselves, well, why are they saying that? Because we're in our own kind of world.
Right.
So I think that is an interesting thing that people have talked about. E. Fuller Torrey, in his book Surviving Schizophrenia, mm-hmm. has talked about that a lot. I don't know if there's a way to really gain insight if you're not going to ever gain insight, but I think it can be worked on in some cases.
Right.
You know, and I think if you do have that insight, and then you say, wait a minute, yeah, this isn't right, and you look at yourself and you say, why are my clothes all tattered? I haven't taken a shower in 2 weeks, something like that. Then you start saying, well, I do need help, and you know, you do have the desire to get better. But until that happens, that's why there's no desire, because there's not always to get better. But usually the desire to get better comes from the fact that we look at ourselves and might think there might be something that we can improve.
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier, just touched on, you know, drugs or alcohol or stuff like that. And when some of these celebrities who have passed away, Keith Ledger, everybody knows that he committed suicide, right? Does anybody know that he was diagnosed as bipolar?
Right.
You know,
Robin Williams. Yeah.
Same thing. Michael Jackson.
Right.
Everybody knows he overdosed.
Right.
Does anybody know he had body dysmorphic? He was diagnosed with body dysmorphic disorder, where that's why he had so many surgeries that, you know, even God knows how many, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just, I think more people who come out, Demi Lovato.
Right.
Demi Lovato. Now she's out and she's getting medication and she's talking at national conferences for NAMI.
I know Nicole Kidman was a big person to come out about postpartum.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Demi Lovato used to think it was normal to stay up for 5 nights and write songs.
Right.
And she'd write 5-6 songs a night.
Right.
And thought that was normal till she crashed.
Right.
You know, and now she's on medication and she's, you know, fine. And and she's a spokesperson for, you know, NAMI.
We need more of those people to come out, and celebrity types, and, you know, because unfortunately, too many people blame after they're dead. You know, they blame they blame the family or they blame the person. You know, they should have known, they should have taken steps, or it's their fault, you know, somehow.
Right.
You know, and I don't know about you, but I've watched a lot of Robin Williams movies. I never thought he didn't have a mental illness. I always thought he probably did have a mental
Truthfully,
illness.
Truthfully, I never liked them. No, but, you know, but I mean, but you in mean movies like, and but, stuff, but you know, like, I never liked them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you could tell that he had a different way about him.
Exactly.
He had that persona that was sort of...
Even Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but... It's just I think that more people like Terry Bradshaw, Demi Lovato, those people who come out.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman,
right?
Yeah.
You know, that helps. Mm-hmm. Mary Jo Cody.
Yeah.
You know, who's a governor's wife,
right.
A former governor's wife.
Right.
You know, and after she was on a show, she was on a show on a Monday. Tuesday, she was flying to Arizona to give a presentation to
she's something.
A group, you know, as she really is, and I think it's awesome that.
Well, there's an In Our Own Voice coming up.
Yep.
On the 19th.
Wednesday the 19th.
So
6:30.
Yep, 6:30.
100 Medical Center Auditorium.
I would recommend all of you people with family members or yourself or. You know, friends, colleagues, next door neighbors, to come to the In Our Own Voice presentation. It's really powerful because it's kind of like it's more powerful than what we're doing here because we're just having a conversation. It's more of they take you through the whole spectrum of all the things they've been through, and it really goes to show, wow, you might just identify with a certain thing that they say that you say, or this might help, you know, the situation, and just speaking about it with the person this way, you know, might help. So so I think those are wonderful.
And you and I know, well, I know both the presentation, the people that are going to do the presentation, but you and I both know the one.
And the thing is that now more than ever is the time, now that there's more knowledge all the way up the chain. I mean, even the president talks about mental health. You know, now is the time to take charge and to try to make a real difference in people's lives. And we're trying to also work, you know, Larry and I both sit on the HRC, the 100 and Behavioral Health Advisory Board, and we're always trying to bring our fresh perspectives as well as learn as much as we can from the people who are caregivers and the people who are, these people, they don't make a lot of money. They could do something where they made a lot more money with the skill sets that they have. They're really there to, just like you are, and I am, to help people, and they're not concerned about the money. They just really want to reach out there and help people because they really believe in the cause.
Well, you know, people often say to me, "Why do you do all these things?" And I'll say, "Well, if I could help one person, it makes it all worthwhile."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I do it.
Right.
You know. With that, we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we are very privileged to have Shea Dibley with us today. He's a NAMI board member, and he's someone with a mental health issue who would be considered a success story. He has gone on with his life. He's married and has two children, and we will be back in just a few moments, so hang in there.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterton County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterton Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterton County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterton County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's, Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Shay Dibley. Shay is a NAMI board member who serves on the Hunterton County Chamber, Hunterton County NAMI, and he's also someone who has a mental health issue who's going on with his life. As I said before, Shay's married, has two children. In fact, his wife just texted him. She says she's listening, so I hope we're doing all right.
She says we're doing great.
So. I wouldn't want to stumble over the words, you know, which I've done many times in the past. But anyway, we are so happy that Shay is here. You know, I've known Shay quite a while now, and it's been a few years. And but I know him when he was already in 90% recovery, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking previously about prior to that when he was going through the hell that he went through. When we were talking about a person needs others to help, all right, are we speaking, I know that, you know, some people don't have family, okay? Or they've been divorced from their family, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Family doesn't want anything to do with them.
Right.
I've run into that more times than I care to, you know, count. But is there, I know there's organizations, I'm very familiar with a lot of them. Is that what we're talking about getting help with, or is we talking about a combination of both? Or
I think a combination of both. Sometimes your family isn't the only person in your life. Maybe you have a particular best friend or you know, confidant or someone who's just on your side, or maybe it's not your fairy family you married into, but maybe it's an aunt or an uncle or, you know, a nephew even, or someone who's mm-hmm. maybe, you know, that can a person that's on your side. But I think, you know, unfortunately, Larry, you know, I was always the kind of person, you know, back in 1999 when I had my first breakthrough episode, I was able to reach out to my mother and, you know, and call her, and she came, she drove 4 hours to college where I was going to college, and she drove me back and started the process of, of, you know, and she said she was so happy that I didn't go out there and self-medicate and just ignore it, and that I did reach out. You know, unfortunately, so many people do self-medicate and do more damage, and then they land in jail or you know, or worse. But you know, the thing is that if we're able to identify and self-reflect, you know, I think that one of the marks of two marks of maturity that I'll talk about right now is the ability to self-reflect in life. Mm-hmm. And say maybe this isn't the right path to take that to go down, or maybe, you know, this isn't the right action to take, and then the ability to delay gratification, and that's another mark of maturity. Sometimes, you know, we have to go down, kind of gets worse before it gets better.
You have to hit the bottom before you get up.
Before you come up,
right?
You know, and sometimes, especially when you've had that episode, you know, whether it be inpatient, outpatient, whatever, sometimes we have to kind of take our lumps. We have to we have to go down there to the bottom, and then there's no place to go but up, and then we go up, but and we start getting better, and we learn things along the way. But I think the ability to self-reflect and the ability to look at oneself and say, I want to try to be – I want to try, you know, and again, you know, just like owning a business, well, which I do, I own a business too, which is an insurance agency with Farmers Insurance. And I, you know, I know, you know, at this point that it's not just a straight line to success. Even like the recovery from mental illness is not a straight line to success. You're going to go up here and then way back down here, and then you can climb up again, and you're going to go down again. You know, it's not a straight line. It's fluctuating, just like the stock market or whatever. You know, it's not a straight line to success. And people give up too easily, that's for sure. Because it's like, well, this medication doesn't work because I'm back down here. Well, maybe, but maybe this is something you should maybe dialogue with your doctor, you know,
absolutely,
and say, listen, I was feeling a little bit better, but then I took a turn for the worse. Okay. So maybe the doctor says, wait, well, what were the circumstances surrounding that? And you tell them, and then they have another suggestion for you, you know, whether it be another medication or a tweak of the existing medication or something along those lines. Where also my doctor said, just interestingly enough, my doctor said that there was a study in California, and this was about 15 years ago, the study came out. They had a control group where they said, just take your medication twice a day, like prescribed, and take your medication twice a day. And the people took their medication twice a day. Everyone had mental health problems. The other group was told, take your medication twice a day, but here is an extra smaller dose to take when you're feeling some symptoms. And that's why I say be a team member with your doctor, because he was saying, this is the way he prescribes some of the medication to me. He says, take this little extra medication when you're feeling the symptoms, right when you feel them coming on. And if you do that, it's said that the hospitalizations went down by like something like 70% at that point, when they were allowed to take some as needed medication, when they're prescribed that way.
But don't you think the person has to be at a certain level before they can do that?
Well,
because you can't. I find it hard to give somebody extra medication if they haven't reached a certain level in their recovery that they can be trusted to only take it when they need it.
Right.
You know, because,
well, there's
other people that'll just take it and take it and, you know.
You know, there's some people that'll take it and take it, and then there's other people that will never take it, you know.
Right.
They'll never take it. You know, they don't believe in it, or it's not going to help them. It's just going to make them worse.
Right.
So, you know, there's both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's So it was just it was an interesting study,
right,
to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. You know, no, I agree.
Because, I mean, there are other people out there that can kind of feel these symptoms coming on. Not right. even if – even back in – I had three major episodes in my life, 1999, 2003, and 2007. And in 2003, this is when I started seeing this doctor. And he told me to take as needed then. And I was much less knowledgeable about the mm-hmm. whole subject back then, and it helped me back then.
Right.
But I had probably a leg up on it, a lot of other people even so, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's interesting because maybe the doctor doesn't tell you that. Maybe the doctor says, no, we're not going to prescribe you as needed. But maybe they say, add vitamin D to your, right. Your
daily
your
regimen
supplement,
there. Right.
Supplement, because you're lacking vitamin D, so take this vitamin D. And sometimes that in the wintertime, that can counteract SADS, you know, the seasonal affective
mm-hmm.
disorder.
Right.
Because
right.
then you're getting the vitamin D in the wintertime, you know, when the sun's not out, because the sun naturally gives you vitamin D when it hits your skin.
Sure, right.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying that sometimes if you work with the team with your doctor and sort of – maybe if you have somebody on your side, because my mom did come in with me the first couple of times with mm-hmm. this doctor, and she was impressed by him right away. But I was going through a bad time. You know, right. I wasn't thinking 100% rationally, you know, and she said, well, maybe, you know, this or that, you know, and she was able to say to me that, point out to me the importance of what he said or what he right. suggested, and keep me on my medication mm-hmm. regimen. It's important, hopefully, if you have that, that's really means a lot, especially in the early years,
right.
until you can keep yourself on a regimen.
Right, right.
You know,
if someone can ask for help, and you said that's insight, that means that the person realizes they need help.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And in a lot of cases, they don't realize it.
That's true.
All right? And until they do, they won't get help.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell parents, let them crash as hard as it is as a parent. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I'm speaking from experience.
Right.
But you have sometimes you have to let them crash to get them back up.
Right.
You know, and
right.
it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy by any stretch.
No.
You know.
And that's what I meant to say, too, by the fact that, you know, you're not only going to crash before recovery, you're going to crash after you start recovery, too.
Right.
You know, that's what I meant when you start going up here, but then you crash down again.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a straight line to success, and you're right. Sometimes you have to have that. The person needs to hit rock bottom, unfortunately, because otherwise they're not gonna feel
right.
You know, that they need that help,
right? And,
you know, and without the buy-in from a person, we've all heard of non-voluntary commitments and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff, but. You know, that's really worst case scenario. That's if someone's a danger to themselves or to
others,
people,
right?
You know, and that's not gonna cut it for everybody. You know, so
no, and you know, my son was hospitalized for over 2.5 years continuously. When he got out, he was in and out of the hospital more times than we care to remember, and finally, he got in a program. I'm not, you know. Patting Easter Seals on the back, but he got into an Easter Seals program, and he went through all their steps,
mm-hmm.
and he finally got to a NAMI house in Clinton,
right?
And now he's been living on his own for the last 5 years,
right?
You know, has a part time job at
BJ's.
Awesome. He volunteers
yeah.
at the hospital one day a week.
Right.
He takes his meds religiously, and you know, you can't ask for more.
Well,
you know?
Can't. You really can't, because the thing is that there was a person that was speaking about his recovery at the CIT crisis intervention training.
Mm-hmm.
They have the NAMI
right.
come there
right.
and the mother spoke first and then the son. And he had problems with heroin. He had been in jail, convicted of a felony,
mm-hmm.
you know, before he went through his recovery.
Right. And, I took the course too, so it's the same guy. I know who you're talking about.
So, I mean, there's all sorts of different stories about.
Right.
You know, and honestly, you know, I know your son is a great kid. He's a great kid, and he has some other things associated with that. So he's not just dealing with mental health issues. He has other issues too. But the thing is that if you can, it doesn't really matter if you kind of head off in this direction for a little bit and realize that's not right and kind of head back over here. As many times as you go, it's just a matter of trying to get to that end result, which is living independently and trying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Shay, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know the time flies by.
Thank you. Wow, it really did fly. I was like, I must have talked too much.
Yeah. No, actually, not enough. I wish we had another hour, but we don't. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're on next week, same time, same station. So tune in if you can. Appreciate it. And don't forget, folks, mental health really, really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We will not be scared, we will not be frightened, and we will be assisting voters.
That's Dallas Woodhouse of the North Carolina Republican Party. The Republican Party's offices in Orange County, North Carolina, firebombed over the weekend by someone who painted Nazi graffiti on the side of the building telling Republicans to get out. The national GOP trying to tie Hillary Clinton to the Obama administration in terms of regulations. North Carolina Republican Kevin Cramer said regulations have been higher than ever under the current Democratic agenda.
President Obama has led a regulatory onslaught the likes of which we have never seen. In fact, this administration is on pace to make this the busiest regulatory year in history, and it won't even be close.
A California company that processes aborted baby parts from Planned Parenthood being sued by the Orange County District Attorney. He says they've been illegally profiting off that material. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
The major thrust of the Black Lives Matter argument that black men are being targeted by white police